Well, the wicked call what is good evil. And we've all done that. I mean, we've done hatchet jobs on people that we disagree with. We call our opponents, whether they be in politics or at work or at home or in the church, we call them close-minded, hateful, legalistic, pharisaic, stupid, racist, or bigot. Our intentions in all such character assassinations are just plain old name-calling. These have been to make ourselves look good and to make our opponent look bad. We want vengeance upon them because they dare to disagree with us. And so we make ourselves the judge. We relish our anger and we won't let it go. Repent. Because you know, our mothers were exactly right. Whenever we point a finger at someone, we've got three pointing back at us. Our insults and complaints, all they do is reveal more about ourselves than they do the opponents. Hear today's gospel and see yourself not in Jesus, but in the Pharisees. I mean, the Lord was working good. He was casting out a demon. But some in the crowd hated Jesus, no matter what he did. Their hearts were full of envy and hatred and rage. They couldn't stand that he was doing good deeds. They wouldn't accept his good deeds. And so they called him evil. They said he drives out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. I mean, they're just essentially saying that Jesus is in league with Satan. Again, this accusation doesn't really tell us much about Jesus, other than he maybe has power to cast out demons, but it reveals a heck of a lot about the accusers. I mean, who in the world sides with demons over Jesus? Who prefers the demons over him? Who sows seeds of doubt? Who asks and demands signs from heaven? Well, this is all exactly what the devil did in the wilderness when Jesus was tempted. He asked Jesus to jump off the top of the temple. Force the angels to catch you. Make your Father prove his power and love. The crowd already had a sign from Jesus. He just cast out a demon. But unbelief always wants something more. Envy is never satisfied. And Jesus would later say to this very same crowd that it's an evil generation that seeks a sign. They refused to be satisfied. They wouldn't trust Jesus or his word, and they demanded proof. Jesus says, okay, I'll give you the sign of Jonah then. The sign of a man buried 3 days in the belly of death, alive out of death, to preach repentance and salvation to the Gentiles. That's the sign that faith clings to. The sign of the cross. Christ crucified and risen to save sinners. Death spitting up its prey. You were once in darkness, under the influence of demons, calling good things evil, being filled with rage, lust, and envy. But Christ has shone in the darkness. He has suffered demons. He's taken all your accusations that you've made. He's taken your sin away. He was executed as a sinner, with wicked men to wash your sins away. You have been rescued from the devil's domain. Jesus gives his own mercy and grace to you. He's broken the devil's grip on all creation, and he's cast him into hell, and he's pulled you out. He shines with the light of grace, undeserved perfect love. He loves you. Thus, you've been brought into the kingdom and been given God's own Holy Spirit. You are baptized. Your tongue is loosed now to sing his praise. He's let you out of, has taken you out of darkness and placed you into his marvelous light. But again, we still know the fact that fallen men will call what is good evil. We hear it all the time. They attack God's word by calling it some kind of human created fiction. They say Christians are just intellectually foolish. They're psychologically weak. Christianity is such an offense that it should just die its own death. But God has chosen nonsense in the world to shame the wise. God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen nonsense and weakness, which means that God has chosen you. In his mercy, he has chosen you to go the way of the cross, to move from the Pharisees and their confession to Jesus. And yeah, the devil is obviously strong. I mean, he's got power. He's ruthless and clever. But Jesus is stronger. He exercises his strength, not with a particular or spectacular display of power or violence or deceptions, but instead he submits to all that the devil has. He lets the devil do his worst, bring his full power to bear, as he thinks he has, and Jesus just turns the other cheek. He uses Satan's strength against him. This isn't a surprise. We see this all over the Old Testament, the Lord using the weapon of the enemy against the enemy. This is all exactly what has been prophesied. And the devil knew. He was quoting the word of God in the wilderness with Jesus at his temptation. But in the end, the devil was such a fool that he couldn't resist the chance to kill God, even though he knew by doing so he would lose. Jesus did not use evil disguised as good. That's the way of the devil. Jesus used good disguised as evil. The unjust death he died, the innocent for the guilty, is good. His crown of thorns, his bloody arms and legs, his dying thirst are all good. The centurion's conversion, the repentant thief, are good. I mean, the death of Jesus appeared evil, but it is the ultimate and greatest good. It is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. The strong man's strength is no more, because the Lord has infiltrated the enemy camp. He's destroyed death from behind enemy lines. The devil's armory was turned on the devil himself and then demolished, so that he has nothing left to use on us, and he has no way to keep us in. We remember that it was by a tree that the devil overcame the human race and plunged creation into darkness, and so it is by the tree of the cross that the devil is overcome. It was by death that Satan sought to steal away man's glory, and so it's by the death of Jesus Christ that the glory of man is restored. Satan's caught in his own trap. He succumbs to his very own lies and temptations, the temptation to kill the Son of God, and as a result, he is enslaved, he is bound, he is defeated. The strong man's outmaneuvered by the stronger man, whose strength is not in hatred or rage, but in love and mercy. The war is over. Satan's been defeated, and Christ is the victor. Yes, the devil is indeed defeated. But that doesn't stop him from lashing out in a frenzy, like a drowning man trying to drag everyone down with him. His strength is gone. He doesn't have any accusations left. Death itself is undone. But the devil thrashes about with such violence that people are deceived by that violence. They think they see in that power or strength. And so then defeated, evil spirits would return. And if the freed heart is not filled with good, the demons are not replaced with the Lord, then the last state of the man is worse than the first. The unclean spirits must be replaced with the Holy Spirit. And those who have the Holy Spirit hear the word of God and keep it, and are thereby blessed. Blessed are those whose wickedness has been covered and sins have been forgiven. Blessed are those who confess what is evil and confess what is good, even the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection as good. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are indeed such people. For you have called good evil and vilified your opponents, but so also you have confessed your sins. You're not a hypocrite. You haven't claimed to be anything other than a sinner. Neither are you wicked, for you do not call your sins good. You confess them. You call them evil. You repent of them. And you also then, in turn, confess the goodness of Jesus Christ, of his holy cross, of his power over death and the devil, and of his holy sacraments. And you expect forgiveness. And you receive forgiveness. You hear the word of God and keep it, which is not to say that you obey it perfectly, but that you believe it, you trust it, you hope in it. You cling to that word of Christ that declares that you are forgiven all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.